7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 11 of Color of Magic. I am your host, as usual, Daquan Watson, and always riding shotgun is Brian Allen. How are you doing, dude?
Hello, hello. Doing good. How are you doing?
Man, I've had a rough day of it today. Like, we found out one of our pets is struggling. My wife had a car accident, so like we're hoping we have a good show to bring the levels up around here. You know,
I'll do what I can, sir. I can't do car repair, but I'll try to, try to get the show going.
But I will say, outside of that, everything else has been pretty good. Okay, so you know, no complaints.
As is usual, 11, is 11 considered to be a lucky number? I know 7 is. 11?
I don't know. I'm sure it is for somebody. Okay. I mean, except for the casinos when you're shooting craps. Yeah. You know?
I feel like I'm from a casino city. I feel like I should know that, but I don't. Sorry.
That's true. You should. You very well should. So, hey, man, how's your 100-day challenge going over on YouTube?
Unfortunately, we had some problems also. We had to run to Shreveport unexpectedly because of some health issues, so I had to end it at 30 days, unfortunately, because I had it was a completely unplanned event, as you know, health, those just things happen, and I didn't really even have any videos in the tube that I could that I could get going over the weekend while we were gone. So yeah, I just had to unfortunately stop it at around 30.
I think that's a good thing to bring up. You know, if anybody's ever involved in doing any type of, especially like visual media of any kind, if you have an opportunity to kind of put one in the tank just to have something for later that is evergreen content that'll still be good later, you should probably go ahead and record it. Like if you're doing something on an afternoon, yeah, and you're like, you know, I've got like an extra hour and a half. Let me go ahead and knock something simple out so I at least have something to share later. Like that way, when you do have something happen, you have that opportunity to toss a thing up. Unfortunately, when you're doing stuff live, it's a little more difficult.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, even on Twitch, there's ways you can record a video and then you can load it to Twitch and then have it preview at a certain time or whatever. Like that is a thing you can do. Same thing on YouTube. You can put it up and then just set a date and a time for it to launch.
Yeah. And I mean, usually I try to have that set up, but we're going to, you know, as I said, we go in deep country. Not all the places I was going to be at even had any internet access. So I just said, you know what, we're just going to have to end it right now.
Yeah, that's a real thing. You know, absolutely. It's funny because moving up here, one of the things when I was dealing with marketing was everybody was trying to do stuff with like cell phones and internet and this and that and the other. And I was telling him, like, well, you know, not everybody has a cell phone, right? Or not everybody has quick internet, right?
They're like,
Yeah, and they're like, no, everybody has a cell phone. I'm like, no, they don't actually. Like, there were literally people in my store. I would ask them, and they would say, like, oh, well, I don't have a cell phone. And even then, for me, my first thought was, well, okay, you don't want to give me the information because I'm a retailer. I get it. But then you'd see them going to trade with somebody, and you're like, oh, no, they really don't have a cell phone.
They're not telling you.
Yeah,
I fought it for a long time until, you know, I had kids. I'm like, okay, yeah, now there's a reason you got to get in contact with me on a, because for years I was working at a weekly newspaper. So there's no reason you need to get in contact with me immediately. We're weekly.
Man, now that I can't even imagine. Like I use my phone for so much stuff. Even now, I can just talk to my phone for things. It's too good.
I went from I don't want it to, you know, can't take two steps without it now. I mean, that's how we get in contact with each other all the time. It's like, hey.
Absolutely. I mean, we couldn't do this show even. Like, I take notes throughout the week right into my phone. So when we put the run sheets together, it's quick, it's simple, we know what we're going to talk about.
Of course, the bad thing about that is, you know, we were in a hurry because it was an emergency, and I took my charger. I remember to grab my charger and completely left my phone.
Man, you might be the first person I know that's ever done that.
Probably. it's a new trend. So the whole thing is like, have you talked to Daquan? Like, I left my phone. I don't, and of course, I don't know your number or anyone else's because they're all in my phone. I barely know my own phone number.
That is a rough time.
We don't memorize phone numbers anymore. It's not a thing.
secret. If it's hooked up to your Gmail or anything, you can look up all your stuff through your Google account. I'm pretty sure you can see all your contacts and stuff.
Okay. That's good.
So that's your secret tip for the week.
There you go.
On my 60-day challenge, we are still trucking. I'm on day 24, I believe. I think that's right.
Okay.
I'm actually pretty excited. We got our first two-month subs.
Oh, nice.
Cool. Yeah, so we've got a handful of subs. I guess we have like 10 subs or something now. I'm up. I cleared the 200 follower mark, so that's cool. And my average viewers per, I guess they measure per hour or something, is up around 9 or 10 now, which is pretty good.
Off of 200 followers.
Yeah, and I'm averaging.
That's really good, by the way.
Like 30 viewers and 30 to 40 viewers per episode kind of coming through the channel. Though sometimes I have hit 60 a couple times, but those people just hung around for like 10 or 15 minutes and left.
That's insane, because what I've heard on Twitch is that you can expect, this is even for big streamers, you can expect about 2% of your followers, 1 to 2%. Even people like Ninja that have, you know, millions of followers, if you look at how many people in their chat, it's still 2% of, you know, 2 or 3 million, which 2% of 2 or 3 million is a lot of people, obviously. But so, yeah, for you to have that many people off of 200 followers is phenomenal. Good show, sir.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm literally just on there goofing, watching people play, watch me play terrible, making conversation. It's cool though, because I'm learning my community already. Like, I can tell you which of them have kids and kind of what time normally they come on because they're getting home from work, because some of them are in Australia and Belgium or whatever. So it's a really interesting thing. I think at the end of the 60, I think I may do some type of YouTube video or something as a wrap up of just like, hey, here's what the journey of the 60 days was like, because I think there's something people could really take away from that.
Definitely.
So what did you learn this week, my friend?
Well, I'm sure everybody has heard of the Loch Ness Monster. I don't know if you believe it or not, but I'm sure you've at least heard of people that believe they've seen this thing.
I've heard that he wants Tree Fitty. That's what I know.
Exactly. Apparently, there is allegedly a lake monster in Flathead Lake in Montana. There's another. I've gotten by.
Okay.
Got by. I can't say poorly traveled, the lesser traveled states, confused, I guess I would say. Montana allegedly has a lake. And I'm thinking, you know, if you got a decent sized lake at this point, I guess you got to have a monster. It's a thing. Every lake that's big enough for tourism needs a monster, right?
Yeah, why not? I mean, up here in the Northwest, everything's about Sasquatch. So
exactly. And I gotta say, I'll admit it, I'm a junkie. I watch all these Monster Quests, Finding Bigfoot, they're all the same show. I get it, but I watch all of them. It's all a bunch of people walking right around the woods for 2 hours. Did you hear that? It's a tree dog. Did you hear it?
Yeah, exactly.
I heard it. It came from that way.
What I learned this week was that a lot of people, like, I will phrase it this way. There is a lot of many things I thought were common knowledge in the magic community that people don't know.
Okay.
One of those things is that people don't know about scryfall.com. When you go to look up cards, I've been using Scryfall for what feels like forever now. I didn't even I just assumed everybody else was using it because everybody I knew used it. But as I'm listening to other podcasts, and I'm on my stream or whatever, and there's multiple people like, oh, I didn't know this was a thing. And truthfully, I just want to say to our listeners, if you're not using Scryfall, you are missing out. It is
doing it wrong, apparently, if you're not using Scryfall.
Yeah, it is definitely the best way to look up cards. Like, you can look up by everything from color, artist, card type. I mean, if it has multiple colors or single colors or whatever. I mean, like, there are so many different things. You can look up power, toughness, you know, words that just appear on the card, whatever. And the format, it outlays it for you, is perfect. It shows you all the different cards with their images. It's fast. It's easy to use. It's honestly everything I think I probably would want Gatherer to be, which is the one on Wizards.
Yeah.
But Scryfall is just the best. I mean,
this honestly. Is an unsolicited testimonial, folks. They hadn't called us. They hadn't paid us. This is just the call I'm letting you know.
I'm not going to lie. I would chill for somebody if they were paying us. But no, they have not paid us. This is just a thing.
This is just news that you need to know about.
Yeah. So with that out of the way, we got to our weekly bannings announcements. And Monday came and went. And there were no bannings. And that was strange. And then
stranger.
Yeah. And then there was Arena's state of the game. And we got cards suspended. I don't have a springy noise for like a bungee cord or anything.
Yeah, we don't know what that means. Are they like in, or are they in cryostasis? This is a new thing, suspended.
Well, what it sounds like, just for those you don't know, Oko, Field of the Dam, Once Upon a Time, and Veil of Summer. So the cards that have been banned in the other formats also ended up banned in Historic. Or suspended in Historic. I should be accurate here. And what it sounds like they're going to do is make it to where you can't play with those cards, at least temporarily. And then I guess at that point, look at how the format develops. And I guess if there are significant changes and it looks fun and balanced, then those cards will eventually go from suspended to banned. If it doesn't make a difference, then those cards, I guess, will get to come back. I mean, we're kind of playing it by ear here.
But I
don't hate this idea, though. I kind of like it because you get to see what the format looks like if they don't exist. And then you're like, okay, we can make a decision on if this was good or bad, or how did things look beforehand versus how they do now. And then you're not really committed to it. So, because there may be a world in the future where we say, okay, what if we just took this card away? How does the format shake out? And then for whatever reason, maybe one or two decks end up coming to the forefront, and those would be able to compete with the decks that had that previously suspended card in them. Then you didn't have a bunch of people rush to sell off their card or whatever because it was going to be banned and this, that, and the other. So then, cool, now you can reintroduce it and people can play with it again. Or if it just stays suspended and then goes from suspended to banned, then fine, the card's banned as though it would be anyway, and you knew it was coming, so nobody went and invested more money in it or whatever.
So yeah, definitely interesting thing, new thing. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, we'll.
I mean, that is kind of somewhat of our theme with Wizards this year too, though. It's like, yeah, that's a new thing. Let's see what happens.
Up the flagpole, see if it flies.
Yeah, I don't know. It's there's a lot of things, which I guess leads us to our next topic. We'll stick with the Arena theme here.
Yeah.
Some of you may have already seen the announcement that we're going to have Brawl-a-days, where you can play Brawl on Arena, I guess, till the end of the month, I think.
Do you know how, and I know you'll appreciate this, Q, do you know how much this sounds like a bad WCW mid-90s pay-per-view? It's happy Brawl-a-days!
100%. I almost wish there was more to the promotion to really just go
from North Carolina.
Oh man, imagine if we could have got like the Planeswalkers, each with like their own luchador mask on or something.
Hell yes.
Like, I'd have been about it.
Done in the style of Southpaw Regional Wrestling. Have you seen Southpaw Regional Wrestling, by the way?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I feel like everybody that's a YouTube thing.
That likes, yeah, if you even kind of like wrestling, especially if you're kind of older fans like we are that remember when it was on your local cheesy TV station in between, you know, the local minor league baseball game and fishing, basically.
Used to get those matches at the old Sportatorium in Dallas.
Yes. They would wrestle in your local high school gym. They didn't care. But anyway, we digress.
So for Brawl-a-days, though, the way it's going to play out is you will get a Risk the Redeemed, I believe, is the card you get that you can play as a commander or just as a card in your deck. But it will be legal for Brawl and I believe also for Historic. So you'll have a card you can use. And then once you have it, you can just copy it or whatever we call the craft your copies.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is you're going to have the option to play Brawl, but it is going to cost either 10 gold or 2,000 or 10,000 gold or 2,000 gems. But there's no limit. You can just play as long as you want, and you get the Risk the Redeem card, which is interesting. How do you feel about that? I'll let you start.
I don't understand what they're doing at all. You know, this is supposed to be kind of a more casual format, right? Isn't that what, at least I thought that's what it was supposed to be conceived as, a more...
Yeah, I would think so. I'm just not understanding why it's not available just to be played.
Never understood, because before they were doing it, I think, just on Wednesdays, right? I think was what they were doing before. Yeah. And that was super weird. I would always, you know, every Wednesday or usually Thursday morning, like, I forgot to play Brawl yesterday. Crap. And then I go, why can I only play it on Wednesdays?
I'm kind of wondering, too, if it was a matter of needing or feeling the need to gate it with a fee of some kind. Why not just make the fee smaller, say 1,000 gold and, I don't know, 10 gems or 50 gems.
Yeah.
But you do that every week or every couple weeks, and you just make a thing that people get for playing Brawl. And I don't know, it could be a bunch, it could be cosmetic stuff or whatever. Yeah. It could be a bunch of different things. Or just make it where if you want some of the cool legends or planeswalkers in a special frame that haven't been done yet, you can go buy those in the store, and then you can just play Brawl. Like, that's a thing too. I mean, it just feels like there's better ways to monetize it to me than what we're doing here. I don't know if this is awful. I think some people are overstating it. I mean, this is fine, but I just feel like there's a better way to tackle it.
I mean, I guess it's awful in the sense that it doesn't get me hyped about the format. it raises more questions than answers for me. I'm happy I'll be able to play it on days other than Wednesdays now, because that was always weird.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you're right. I mean, it doesn't really build excitement being the way that it is. So, you know, maybe it is failing at doing that. I mean, I'm just wondering, if the format was regularly available, is there potentially, I mean, if your goal being Wizards is to grow all of your options and formats, both tabletop and arena, if this was available regularly, would you have more people who would hop on to just play arena?
Like, I would think so.
Yeah, I'm assuming there has to be some reasonable non-zero number, maybe a couple thousand people who would hop on just for the sake of being able to play Brawl regularly.
Yeah, because, you know, compare that to your, you know, real world brick and mortar, where if you went to comics, I get like, okay, you would only have, like, let's say a tournament of Commander or something on, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday. But no, me and my friend just want to sit here and play Commander. No, you can't. There's no Commander. Only on Wednesdays.
Yeah, so I don't really know. Like, there is also the other possibility that this is kind of like Wizards trial run. Like, okay, let's say we do put a price on it. How many people are still willing to play it?
Maybe
that's a way to test, like, how much are people really into playing Brawl? Because, I mean, being honest, like, getting 10,000 gold is not that hard to do in Arena. Like, if you're getting on and doing your dailies and whatever, you can get that in pretty short order.
Yeah.
And then it's good for the month. That's the thing. So you will have it for 3 weeks or whatever once you go pay for it. And you get a unique card. So that's still kind of cool.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, maybe Wizards can look and say, oh, well, I'm just making up a number here, but, you know, we had 300,000 people that came through and played Brawl X number of games, you know, over the course of the promotion after paying this entry fee. Okay, so maybe it is worth it for us to open it up, because there's some number of people who probably didn't pay for it. So if we even get 30% more, okay, well, that's worth it for us to do. And, you know, maybe that's what they're going for. I don't know. Yeah,
could be. Like you said, could be that, you know, because I think we've all seen the survey for various servers where they ask you, would you pay such and such? And probably everybody says yes, because it's in real money. Everybody can say, hypothetically, sure, I'll pay you an extra $10.
Sure.
But then you, when you actually have to, okay, go put this on my credit card every month, then you actually think about it. So maybe this is their way of actually doing a survey where people actually put money in and actually do pay for the thing, as opposed to just ask, oh, sure, everybody says they'll spend money when there's no, it's hypothetical money.
I almost feel like this is one of those situations that we'll know more when we see what happens with Brawl, say 2 to 3 weeks after the end of the promotion. I think that'll tell us more based on like how many people responded to it, how Wizards dealt with that information, what they took away from that. And then we'll have a true, better idea of kind of what's happening with Brawl and where it's going. As is, it's what we have for now. So if you want to play Brawl, here's your opportunity.
I'm bad about saving my gold. I really am. I probably got like, I always buy a pack as soon as I got 1,000. So I'll save up now.
Oh, no, I definitely have a lot of gold in mine. I've used some just to crack packs to get a couple of wild cards, and then I still ended up, I'm already back to like 88K gold or something.
Okay.
So we have other fun news this week that people should like. There were Theros previews. So Theros Beyond Death, that's the next set coming out in January. As we're approaching the middle of the month, it starts to become time for preview season for Wizards of the Coast and the new sets. And we got 3 new cards. So which ones do you want to tackle first? You want to go with the Planeswalkers or with the God card first?
Hey, I just go with the God, you know. It's
all right.
Get religious.
So, for those of you that didn't participate in Theros last time or didn't own any Theros cards or drafted or anything, the theme in Theros were, literally there were two. There were the God cards, and there ended up being, I believe, 10 combinations plus the 5 single colors. So there was 15 of those. And then you had an enchantment theme to the set. So the gods kind of embodied both of those in the sense that you got an actual god card that did something cool. Usually they came alive, I guess if you want to call it that, when there was enough devotion, which is usually if there are enough colored pips on the table to match the color of the god, they would become live and become creatures. And then they were also enchantments, which was very cool. So that triggered some other stuff as well.
And from a lore standpoint, it's based on Greek mythology, you know, like the various gods and pantheons and mythic heroes. And
yeah, for sure. So here we have Athreos, Shroud Veiled, which is black, white, and 4. It's a 4/7 creature, sort of. Indestructible, legendary enchantment creature god. And as long as your devotion to white and black, since it's both colors, is less than 7, Athreos isn't a creature. At the beginning of your end step, put a coin counter, which is just a counter, we're calling it a coin counter with this card, on another target creature, so you can't put it on itself. Whenever a creature with a coin counter on it dies or is put into exile, return that card to the battlefield under your control.
Because this card's death.
Pretty sweet. Yeah, this card's sweet, man. This seems like the type of card you would like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you give me some kind of crazy, you know, tribal superhero almost theme, I am totally in on it. So, yeah, I'm hyped. I've always loved Greek mythology. So, I mean, I was, when I heard about the first Theros set, I was all in.
Well, I will say the scary part about this card is if you don't deal with it, let's say in 2 turns-ish, well, now your opponent's going to have their other 2 best creatures that effectively can't die.
Yeah.
Like, they're just going to come right back. Like, that's pretty strong. It does cost 6, so, I mean, it's not like it's chump change. I mean, it is going to be hard to get into play, but this definitely makes me interested to see what they're going to do with the other god cards, because they're obviously putting all the multicolor ones in here.
Yeah, you know green's going to have one. And 6 for... maybe they make the cost higher for green, because 6 is nothing for green.
Well, the other thing, too, to remember is previously when Theros was around, all of these sets were part of 3 set blocks.
Yeah.
So that's no longer the case now. Sets can come in any number of sets it takes to tell the story.
This is true.
In this case, it's only going to be 1, because they've already kind of told us what the other stuff was that's coming. Because we're going to get Ikoria in the spring, we're going to have a core set in the summer, and then we're going to get Zendikar in the fall. So this is going to be one set. So they're going to cram everything in here, which means you're going to get all the gods, all the enchantment stuff. We're just going to be rocking and rolling from day one.
It's going to be bonkers, sounds like, which I'm cool with.
Yeah. Now, and the other interesting thing is that the Planeswalkers got previewed first, which usually the Planeswalkers kind of come a couple of days in or whatever. But in this case, we get Ashiok and Elspeth. Ashiok is Ashiok Nightmare Muse. It's a blue, black, and three, and has five loyalty. Typical mythic rare, as expected. Ashiok's plus one is you create a 2/3 blue and black nightmare creature token with whenever this creature attacks or blocks, each opponent exiles the top two cards of their library. That's pretty cool, man. And not only that, it's a plus one. So you're going to play it for five, make a 2/3, move to six loyalty. That's pretty cool. And it's when it attacks or blocks. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, so it's going off, you know, probably, well, the potential to go off each turn.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. I like the design of that. It's also interesting that it makes a 2/3 creature and not a 2/2 creature. It's rare that things make tokens with bigger toughness. Now, we've seen some that are 2/1 or 3/2s or whatever, but you rarely see it as a bigger toughness than power. So that, to me, says that feels like that's somewhat relevant in this format for some reason.
Yeah.
But we obviously won't know until the rest of the cards come out. Ashiok Minus is a -3. Return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Then that player exiles a card from their hand.
Keeping with the theme of stuff don't die.
Yep. And then Ashiok has a -7 that you may cast up to 3 face-up cards your opponent owns from exile without paying their cost. There is so much stuff going on with this.
Yeah, this is going to be, I can already tell, kind of an interesting format, seems like, in terms of just...
But if you like mill cards and you want to try to run your opponent out of cards, I mean, I've already seen a few mill decks running around currently. This fits that theme absolutely excellently. So it's probably already going to have a home right out of the gate. So that'd be interesting.
And it seems like that's going to be good in the format, you know, where creatures are probably coming back from death every turn. You know, it's okay. That's fine. You're doing a lot of combat. I'm going to eat all your cards. What's your answer?
Well, it's funny you say that, because coming back from the dead is Elspeth, Sun's nemesis, which is cute because the other Elspeth was Sun's champion.
Yeah, so I saw that and thought, like, wasn't she dead?
Well, she was running around the underworld and doing some things, and I guess she found a way out or something. I guess we'll find out in the story. But she now has a sweet spear that's got, like, I don't know, black death oozing from it or something.
I mean, I'm not going to lie and say I expected her to stay dead. You know, she's a major character, so.
Well, the thing is, until we actually, like, in the case of Gideon, we, like, know Gideon died, like, we know some of the other characters died during War of the Spark because we saw it. It was part of the thing. But if we're like, oh, no, they just got put in a place, we can't really call that dead. But yeah, so Elspeth, she's white, and two. Her first ability is a -1. Up to 2 target creatures you control each get +2/+1 until end of turn. So that's pretty standard for other Elspeth cards. No problem with that. Her second ability is a -2. Create 2/1/1 white human soldier creature tokens. So with loyalty of 5, you'll get to trigger this at least twice. Get 2/1/1s. Use one of them to pump them up. Now, the interesting thing is, be aware that I have said -1 and -2. There is no plus. She also has a -3 ability, which is cute because her abilities are -1, -2, -3.
Yeah.
You gain 5 life. But she has an ability that says escape with a cost of 4 white. You exile 4 other cards from your graveyard. And in parentheses, it's giving the rules text for escape, which says you may cast this card from your graveyard for its escape cost. So this is interesting because you can play her for 4, make a couple of creatures or gain some life or whatever, and then activate, or I guess pay 6 and get her back from the graveyard, but it's exiling some other cards. There's going to be a lot of exiling in this set, obviously.
Yeah, there's going to be some Judge. There's going to be a whole lot of, seems like, some interesting game states, to put it mildly.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with all that. This is interesting. I kind of see why they previewed these cards first, because it sort of opened the door to say, like, hey, let people speculate a little bit about some of the set mechanics and things like that, which it will obviously open the door for that. So what do you think about these three cards, man?
I feel like it's going to be a good time for weird combo decks, because it's a format where maybe nothing's going to die.
Yeah, possibly.
Probably a good time to really do something other than combat, which is just always fun.
Or, I don't know, I'd have to go back to the current sets and say, like, if there's anything that additionally exiles things or can affect something in exile, maybe it's time to spec on a few of those cards if you're into that. I don't know. I think it's cool. I'm pretty hyped. I think these were cool cards to preview first. I don't know if I'm like over the moon about it, but I'm pretty into it. I mean, these at least have me interested in what's coming down the pipe for the rest of the set.
Yeah. And again, glad to see Elspeth back.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people have been complaining. They wanted White to have a few more cool cards and, you know, get up there a little bit back on the power level. So maybe this is kind of starting down that path.
I've been one of the people complaining because, man, I just didn't, you know, the knights are great, but overall, I just didn't feel like White Weenie got as many cool toys this time around.
Well, maybe this will be the beginning. We'll see. So, also, as we talked about last week, there was a Mythic Championship that happened. Mythic Championship 7, which was the last Mythic Championship of the year. I think it was the last major Magic tournament, really, of the year, I think. I don't know. The calendar's been all kinds of crazy, so I'm probably going to be called a liar right after this, but...
Yeah, somebody's going to, you're going to have it in your inbox, hey, such and such is happening, and
yeah, I mean,
how dare you say we're not major.
I will say, though, this was a really well-run event. I would say this, from a viewer standpoint, at least for me, I'm just talking from personal perspective, but I felt like this had a lot of learnings from all of these other events throughout the year. Like, they had the snippets, so you could see kind of the final moments of each Mythic Championship, you know, throughout the year. Those were played. They had some cool little vignettes talking with the different players and, you know, some about the MPL stuff and about their decks. So there was all this stuff that I think made it more viewer friendly instead of just like running a whole bunch of commercials or having a bunch of downtime.
Yeah.
You got to see several more matches that they had that kind of replayed. They had some they caught up kind of late into some matches and they went to, which I don't think they were able to do in the first couple. So all of this kind of really played into it. I think the post-match interviews were good. And I felt like for even some of the staff, you could kind of tell they were in a more of a normal groove. Like, they sort of knew what was expected. They figured out what's working, what's not. It felt very, I mean, this is weird to say, but it felt very viewable, much more viewer friendly than the way we started the year.
That's, you know, as we've talked about previously, that's one of the reasons, you know, we do the challenges where we try to put a bunch of streams together, is because, you know, the more you go out there and broadcast, the better it's going to get. And that's true for big events, too.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody's learning.
Even for me, in just my 24 days or whatever on Twitch, there's a bunch of things I'm picking up on subtly that are really helping each day. So I'm even pushing myself and like adding stuff to my stream or adding stuff to the bots or trying something new with playing a different format or whatever, just to try to engage people differently now that I'm starting to learn. So I can only imagine when Wizards has all this data and sees all the emails and all the Twitter posts and everything else, like, that's a lot to grind through to get you to this type of product. Now, our winner in this event was Piotr Glogowski, and
thank you for saying that. That was,
I guess it's Glogowski because, you know, you have to pronounce the W as a V, I think is how you do that. But
I believe so.
This is funny because, you know, we talked previously about having to have some heels so people have somebody to root for and against.
Yeah.
And he was kind of playing that role. He he has a little bit of a following online. You know, he has some people that come watch his Twitch stream and all that. But while he was playing, he was like spamming the emotes and kind of making faces and stuff, you know, and he kind of looks a little bit super villainy. He had his blue hair on and everything. And don't get me wrong. Like, I don't know him personally. I haven't heard people tell me a bunch of crazy stuff about him. As far as I can tell, he's an okay human being. Like, I don't know much about him. But I think it was, like, if you watch the chat and the thing, like, there were people like, ah, they should just mute his thing so he can't emote or whatever and blah, blah. Like, so you could tell that it was creating a little bit of animosity, though they were having fun with it. And then in the last game with him and Brad Nelson, for those who didn't see it, I would go back and watch. Like, the event was very good. At least watch the third day and see the top eight play out. But Brad took all of his time against him and like roped and like used all of his emotes. Like, yeah, I loved it. So like,
just fine.
Yeah, so like that's the turn just, he's gonna die. Like, really kind of giving it back to him a little bit. And you could tell like Brad was smiling the whole time and like he knew what he was doing. But I think it allowed that type of fun interactive moment to kind of have somebody that was a little bit of the heel. So even though he won, there was still that little bit of back and forth. There's some playfulness in there. You could tell with the viewers, there was a little bit of animosity, but he also had his own fans. So, you know, having both supporters and detractors there were awesome.
I think people realize, or I don't say everybody, I can't speak for everybody. I think most people realize that when you're on stream, you're to some extent in character. I hope some of the people, you know, that rage on stream are not really that angry when they lose a game. I don't know a lot of these people, but I think even though, and sure, it's like wrestling where, okay, your character is an extension of your own personality, but I think most people realize, yeah, you're playing it for the camera. You have to, you're on camera, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with playing a character to be entertaining. I mean, we were just talking about this off the air. There's some, like, for, as an example, actually, if somebody were to walk up and ask me about the spoiled cards in Theros, which, by the way, just clarity, a spoiler is a thing that gets put out when the company doesn't want to in some form or fashion that's just like sneakily out there. A preview is a thing the company actually puts out to create excitement, hype, whatever, for an upcoming product. So when we're talking about previews, it's like the three cards we talked about. When it's spoilers, it's like the magically found boosters at whatever, the Walgreens or whatever. But if somebody were to just talk to me off the air, I would gladly talk about the spoiled cards. But I'm not going to do that on the show. I'm not going to do that on Twitch. Like, I just,
yeah,
it just feels like a bad thing to do to promote that. So,
exactly.
I kind of get it.
That's, you know, when you're doing your show, you bring, you know, kind of your values and your, you know, the way you want to do it, you know, and you don't want to talk about that stuff on, because, like, we don't want to promote, you know, spoilers, basically.
Yeah, but I will say this, though. I get it why some people would do that. Because we're all trying to stand out. Like, and that's kind of part of that play your character sort of thing. And you make a decision of what you want to put out there and what you don't. You know, and that's a decision I've made. This is something somebody did that could potentially harm the company and hype. And I know the work people put into it. So I'm just choosing not to support that. Somebody else who desperately needs viewers or listeners or whatever, like, they might dive in on it and do it. I'm not going to even say they're wrong for doing it, honestly, because if it's what they feel they need to do, the information's out there. Go for it.
I was about to say, I've been on that side of the coin where you're working for you know, a startup where you don't know if this website is going to be here a year from now, so you don't necessarily have the, obviously, you know, there's your journalistic, you know, values or whatever, but you got to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a website, you're not a journalist 2 years from now, or at least not at that particular website. So I get, you know, why people are like, hey, we got this information that only a few people have. Let's put it out there. I've been in the room where we've had these discussions, and I mean, they get pretty heated, you know, in terms of what you want to put out there, or even, you know, if you've got a source and you're not sure yet if this is legit, but you know you're not the only one that has it, and you know if you don't report it, everybody else that has it, or at least, let's say 50% of the other people that have it, are going to report it.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are active decisions. And, you know, and relating this back to what we're talking about, like, I get it why some of these people may have certain personalities on Twitch or YouTube or Twitter or whatever. That's how you get your followers. That's how you get your viewers. Is that actually how they are as a person? I don't know, unless I know them. I just know whatever you put in front of the camera and whether I'm entertained by it or not. And Pyotr seems to really enjoy playing with the emotes and kind of being the bad guy a little bit. And people find it amusing. So if it's part of his brand, then all right, yeah, cool, go with it.
And I'll give it to you. I'm probably going to be more likely to, I mean, he, obviously somebody that wins the championship, I'm going to be interested in the chain after stream anyway. But, you know, him, you know, kind of rubbing it in, you know, so yeah, to speak. And I'm going to be more. And actually, somebody, I wish I could give the person credit, but I don't remember who exactly did it. They did an experiment. They started two different streams. One of them was, you know, kind of just a more generic, as you, what you refer to as a chill streamer.
Mm-hmm.
The other stream was a total rage streamer. XQC, if you will. Just they were mad at everything to the point where it's obvious they're going over the top with it. But the rage stream grew at something like 3 times the speed of the chill stream.
Oh, I totally believe that. It's
kind of made twice as much money, you know, got followers at a much higher rate.
It's kind of like, do you remember that the big dude that was in the Magic community that he was known for the table flip or whatever that happened?
Yeah.
Like, everybody I know who's met that dude says he's super friendly and super nice. Like, that's just a thing he does online. Just like rages out and smashes thing and gets mad when he does box openings and doesn't open the big card or whatever. But people tune in to watch. I mean, it was a brand the dude got popular on for like 5 years. So,
yep.
I mean, I get it. But anyway, bring it back to the tournament. Javier Dominguez almost won another event. He finished fourth, I believe.
And how many with that? How many does he have currently?
I mean, well, he's the current world. Like, think about this. Like, he finished second in Worlds 2 years ago. He had a great year, made it to Worlds again, won the World Championship. And then he had a couple of near misses and won an event this year and almost won another one. Like, the dude's on an insane tear right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of those times I sort of feel bad for people when we talk about when we talk about the greats, right? Because it's like when people look and go, well, Kobe's not Michael Jordan or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but he's still really damn good.
Yeah.
You know, and people are going to look at this period of time and say, well, you know, Andrea Mengucci is having a crazy year. Javier Dominguez is having a crazy year. And then people are going to be like, yeah, they're okay. You know, but they're not,
I know, right?
They're not Kai or Finkel. You know, like, but dude, they are crushing it. Like,
yeah,
absolutely crushing it.
It's like the line at the end of Troy when they say, you know, I'll tell people I lived in the time of a kid. We're going to be telling people we lived in the era of Javier Dominguez, you know, if we're speaking honestly.
Oh, yeah. The interesting thing about all of this is it immediately had an effect on Arena. I think when we started playing matches, you know, Monday, Tuesday after the event, you could already see a lot of the top decks like cycling through. Like, yeah, people's main deck already had cards that you can tell were in there for this new meta, which is kind of interesting. So we're in like real time deck development. You know, once something's out there, it starts getting iterated on within the hour. Like, it's pretty wild.
That's, as we discussed it, that's good and bad.
Now, we do have another thing to talk about that came out of this event, which kind of leads us into our dinner table talk segment here. And it kind of comes back to the whole diversity and Magic thing. And to put it in perspective, the other big thing coming out of this event was we ended up with our final lineups for the MPL for the shortened season next year and for the Rivals League. So we know the full roster for those. They're on magic.gg, I believe, if you want to go look those up. They have an article that lists out the members of both those groups. But when you look at these groups, the MPL has one non-binary person in Autumn Burchett, which was expected because, you know, Autumn had a solid year, won a Mythic Championship, yeah. No surprise. No women, no black people. Rivals, and MPL, I believe, has 24 people in it. So Rivals has no non-binaries, one woman, Jessa Stefan, and one black person in Greg Orange, who's was on, I believe, episode 2 of the show.
Yep.
And that's it. Out of a total of, I guess, 52, I believe, is the count, because I think it's 24 and 28, maybe, was the count of the two groups together. So out of 50 plus, you're talking about three that represent the most underrepresented minorities, I guess, in the game. Like that's a tough situation, I think, for Wizards, because this is obviously, you know, people who did well throughout the year. So I'm not taking anything away saying that these other people don't deserve their spots. Like, they obviously kicked butt all year, they traveled to all the events, they put in the time, all that. But I think as a marketing tool, these are still going to come up lacking to yeah. help you extend your reach. And I think there's a little underlying animosity you see pop up from time to time because they use their discretionary invites, which, by the way, I believe Greg and Jess both got discretionary invites. So, you know, good for them. They made the use of it. They're still in. So good for them. But Savich also got one, who's a streamer. But to my knowledge, I don't think he played in any of the tabletop Mythic Championships, just the arena ones. So he got it and didn't even take advantage of the opportunity. So that's got to be frustrating to some people. And I think he did well enough to stay in Rivals, if I'm not mistaken. So I guess my question to you would be, who do you feel Wizards should be targeting with potential discretionary invites to events next season?
There's the huge question.
Because I'm not even totally sure I know, honestly.
Yeah, and I mean, this isn't, you know, this isn't just a problem, you know, that Wizards had. This is before, you know, Tiger Woods showed up. This is a problem that golf talked about at length. Baseball is going through it right now. The difference being, okay, for the most part, they don't have discretionary invites. They're not picking their own players. Wizards is. So in theory, this should be easier to fix, but.
Yeah, because it kind of starts at the base, right? Like using golf as an example, since you brought it up. Before Tiger Woods, I mean, not even being funny, but almost no black people picked up golf clubs. But let's be real.
Yeah.
But the longer Woods was at his peak, you saw a few more people coming out, and the amount of color on the golf courses changed a little bit. And it wasn't just business people. There were people trying to learn to play golf and get out there and really make something of it. Because
the viewership changed dramatically.
Yeah, it made it accessible and visually attainable to more people. Because like, oh, okay, well, my people do play this. Maybe I should go try it, right? So there's a need to get somebody in at the highest level, or at least get somebody who can compete at that level, access to those inner circles. So down the road, you have the natural development and the interest there. But I don't know if it's better for Wizards to just find the best player in some of these minority groups and promote them. Or do we want them to be the biggest personality? Because that also draws attention. You know, I think that's somebody who will write about it. They'll probably stream all their testing. You know, they'll probably do a bunch of interviews and they'll be great. And those are sound bites and those are people you can put on videos. And that has merit. I mean, I know people don't want to talk about that because like, oh, it should all be merit-based, work for it, whatever. But at the same time, it's like, well, these people are doing other things that are also beneficial, which in reality, if that person is successful at bringing people into the game, there's ultimately more money for you to win being a member of the MPL or the Rivals League. So it's in everybody's best interest for this to happen. It's just, can we find the right people?
Because if nobody's watching this, none of us are making any money.
Yeah. You know? I mean, ultimately, you need people watching online. You need people playing Arena. You need people going to stores and buying booster packs. Like, and the more people we have doing all of those three things, we're all going to be better off. So we shouldn't be knocking anything they want to do in this space, really. But, I mean, I don't know. Because I could see an argument to be made for Wizards saying, okay, let's go through and find the person whose articles get the most comments. Let's find the person who's got the most active Twitter account as a Magic player who happens to be a minority. Maybe we go find the most entertaining minority streamer and they promote them for like a month and then give them a discretionary invite. You know, build up a base to bring them in and just see what happens. Like,
I was about to say, some of these are going to have to, you know, when you talk about the, do you want the minority or the biggest personality? Some of these have to be, you know, this, they're going to, people are going to fall into both categories.
Yeah, that's the gold mine, right? If you find one of those, then it's great.
We've had a few of them on our show, so they're out there.
Sure, I agree. I mean, they're definitely there. I mean, get one of those people for sure. Because, and it's hard, right? I do... In some way, I mean, this is going to sound harsh, but like in some ways, I do sympathize and get it, right? If I was a white guy who's playing and I'm trying to get on the gravy train and get into Rivals League or whatever, or in, under the MPL, and somebody else gets an invite, particularly because they're different than me, like that is going to hurt a little bit. I mean, and I understand why they would feel upset by that. But at the same time, it's also to help build this pie larger. So when you do get your shot, there's more there for you. I mean, you almost have to look past like the immediacy of everything and say, okay, long term, is this beneficial? I mean, because the truth is, and not even just what Wizards does, right? If more people are playing, those are bigger Star City events. That's bigger opportunities for people to run larger local events. There can, somebody can create another tournament series. Like, more sponsors come looking at the game. You know, there's more opportunity if we build up that whole extra block of people that we don't have access to right now. I mean, we've talked about it, me and you've talked about it before, where, you know, we have entire segments of our family or entire segments of our community that are very well colored that just don't touch Magic.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's all opportunity.
And I would say also, you know, this is, you don't necessarily have to be, I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities with events this size. For the coverage, there could be lots of opportunities for somebody that's already got their own fan following to be part of the coverage team in some way, or possibly to be, you know, involved in, there could be some kind of streamer side event.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I'm fine with that too. Even if I think that's a very good thing to do. If you don't want to disrupt the MPL or Rivals with that, do a couple of special, I don't know what we want to call them, maybe influencer or personality, streamer events, whatever, and take some of these people and just do a special event where it gets broadcast and people can see all of these other content creators and players or whatever. So there is exposure for them. And I don't know, maybe they earn it through that. Maybe you do one or two of those events, and then the winner who wins that series or whatever gets a spot in Rivals or whatever, right? Like, something of that nature would be. Or not even that. Maybe they just get an invite to the next Mythic Championship or something. But even that, I think, does a lot to just get that exposure and put it out there so people even just see that there's other people like them. Like, I know in my own experience, there were multiple people that came into my store and they were like excited just to be able to go like, oh, hey, there's a black guy who runs the place. So that's cool. You know, and it was
just, that's when I first came to your store, I was like, hey, Daquan Watson for president. Seriously.
Yeah, it was weirdly like, oh, I mean, I hate to say it, but it, for some people, I think it was even a little bit of a novelty because it was just like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, we never see this. You know, but that made a difference to people down the road. So, I mean, even that had its own impact. And I wasn't being broadcast to anybody. You know, actually, even on this topic, actually, I want to tell everybody about another thing I have coming up. Next Thursday on the 19th, I'm going to be on a live stream with four other streamers and community people talking about particularly challenges that people of color have with streaming, with charity events, stuff like that, and how to better promote them and whatnot for this very reason. They're just not enough.
Yep.
And this is being sponsored by the group that we talked about before, the Cookout, actually. They're putting awesome. It on. They reached out to several of us, and I volunteered to participate. So, and it's a good diverse group, actually. So I think it'll be fun. It's going to be Thursday the 19th at 7 p.m. Eastern time. For anybody who wants to find that, it's going to be twitch.tv/thecookout. So
I am setting my calendar.
Just want to self-promote a little bit there.
That's what we call a segue in the business.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But yeah, I think, I mean, this is one of those things. As we got to the end of the year, and don't get me wrong, we still finished the year better than where we started, right? Like,
yeah.
Autumn, Jess, and Greg were not part of any of this when it kicked off. Like, they got their invites and they earned their spots, and you know, and I say that Autumn outright won a Mythic Championship, so that's a whole different ball game.
One of the great moments of the year in Magic, and it got so it was really, I mean, I think the dream for Magic was, you know, so much great coverage, just the incredible feel good story. That's it couldn't have gone any better for him, honestly.
Yeah, and I think that was big, and I think that in and of itself should stand to show people how important that is. Like, people were talking about Autumn's win for like 2 or 3 weeks, and there were multiple people saying, oh man, it's awesome that somebody like me was able to win the event, and it's cool that I'm represented, and it was great that, you know, the commentators used the proper pronouns, and you know, all of that mattered. Like, so I get it if you're not, I am not a non-binary person, right? So like that's not a thing. I am not trans. I can't 100% relate to that situation. But that doesn't mean it wasn't a good thing. You know, I could easily see how much that meant to people.
Yeah.
I could easily see the positive comments. So I'm smart enough to say, well, it's cool that people are celebrating this because now more people are going to feel good about coming to play Magic and hanging out with us. Like, that is an awesome thing. We should want more of that.
And it was covered by every site, every publication that even kind of talks about card games and tabletop stuff.
Oh yeah. Like, here would be one of the dream scenarios, I would think, for Wizards is you find, I don't know, but not to just like put a dollar value on somebody. We'll call them the Golden Goose, right? Like, you find this.
The Gilded Goose.
There you go. The Gilded Goose, right? You find this black person who is great as a community member. They're a solid Magic player. They're an awesome personality. And then they go and win a Mythic Championship. And then they get interviewed by a couple of magazines. Or, I don't know, even something, let's say, I don't know, Jet Magazine even around? I don't even have any idea anymore. But like, you know, one of those cultural relevant magazines picks them up and they run a story. And then you start saying like, oh, well, what is this other thing this person's playing? So then now you get more people from those communities coming and looking at your product. And that's how it kicks off. But you need that to happen once or twice. And it's not just going to magically happen. You almost have to like put a little extra effort into it. Now, that being said, I am totally open for an invite if Wizards wants to throw one my way. But
there you go.
I don't even know if I'm the person they're looking for, to tell you the truth.
And while you're doing that, I guess we're going to put a pin in that for next week's What I Learned. I will find out what the current status is of the Ebony Jet magazine. I don't know. And I'm embarrassed that I don't know what their standing is right now. So I'll check on that. I'll have a report back next week.
I don't know. I mean, maybe get into the source or something. I don't know. You know, But what I'm saying, though, really, is just getting access to those other communities is ultimately what a company has to do to continue to grow. You have to find gaps in the marketplace that you're not filling and figure out ways to do it. And this is one of those ways. I mean, people don't want to talk about it, but
we got a lot of gaps, as we've established.
And the reason we know this is still a problem is 2 days ago, or at least 2 days as of this recording, I went on to Reddit and made a post about her podcast because a friend was like, hey, I know she had this thing. I didn't see anybody talk about it on Reddit. You should go post over there. And in my head, I'm kind of like, man, I know Reddit likes to poo-poo on a lot of stuff.
No.
But you know what? I'm willing to be the punching bag for a few hours. Let me go do this thing. So I post on Reddit, and it's actually good. Everybody's positive. We're one of the most active threads on there under the podcast. Because you can tag everything on Reddit now, so it's under the podcast tag. But we're one of the most talked about things. I mean, a bunch of people were surprised, even though it was a thing. So we got a bunch of downloads from it. You know, people were giving us a couple like requests for guests or whatever. So cool. But then the interesting thing happened is I was like, I'm smart enough to know not everything is that positive. Because ultimately, we are still a part of society and our game is still made up of members of society. So we know what the breakdown is. Like, let's not kid ourselves. Not everybody's on our side. But
no.
I start watching the upvotes, downvotes on the thread. And start out, and when I checked it, it's like, oh, okay, 29. That's pretty solid. But I leave it up, and I refresh about every hour. And it's like, oh, 21, 26, 22, 31, 24. Even today, prior to recording, when me and Brian were talking about this, I was looking, and it was like, oh, we went up to 55. Oh, now it's down to 51. Just now, I just refreshed it. It's back up to 57. So what that says is there's still a lot of people still downvoting it. And I didn't put anything in the post that even could remotely be taken away as anything attacking anybody or whatever. I literally put a friend suggested I come over and post about my podcast. I tell them we do a weekly thing. It's based on magic. We cover all this stuff. We also try to highlight projects and people of color in the community. We keep a segment set aside for larger issues, talk about minority stuff. We're only 10 episodes in. Here's a link to the podcast. You can find it on these different podcast sites. That's literally the post. So there's...
Yeah, you've said nothing controversial.
Yeah, there's nothing to attack.
Nothing that's in anybody's face.
And I even went through, I politely responded to everybody who had a question, everything. Very generic, like nothing at all to attack. And it's 59% upvoted. So, you know, I guess that's positive. I haven't looked at all the other threads by Reddit standards, but 59% still pretty good. I'll take it. But it still says, like, this is why some of those efforts still need to happen. Like, there's still going to be people that are mad for whatever reason, you know, or they don't want other groups lifted up for whatever reason. And this is why sometimes when we say, like, well, you kind of sometimes have to force the issue because the goal is to make it normal. Like, people shouldn't have walked in my store and been like, oh, there's a black guy running the store. Odd. You know, like, that shouldn't even have been a thing.
Or tell you that, hey, you're not all that black.
Yeah, that happens too. Not only that, like, that it's one of those things measured against your blackness because you're doing a thing that no other black people do. You're like, that shouldn't even be a concern. Like, that should never even be a thing. And that's what we're trying to get to. Like, the goal should be to normalize all of this. So when somebody tunes in, they see just a whole lot of different people from all over the place. They see people from all different walks of life, all colors of skin, every gender, ethnicity, whatever. Like, that should just not be a question. That's the goal you want to get to. And I think we're still a long way away. I will say this. I think Wizards is trying. I think we've covered that before. I'm not saying they're not working towards that. But I think they just have to continue. And I think it's going to be an issue you see come up again next year.
And as we said, it's clear, you know, we got a whole show about this. We hadn't figured out the solutions either. You know, we're not saying we have all the, we're like Sway. We don't have all the answers. Okay.
Yep.
You're not saying that we do.
And seriously, even just the responses we get to the show of people being thankful for people just being glad that somebody's doing it. Or people even saying like, well, yeah, it's something I thought about, but, you know, I just didn't want to put myself out there, or I was afraid of the backlash or whatever. Like, this says there's still work to be done, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
And again, this, like I said, I want to be clear. I am not trying to take anything away from any of the people that have earned their spots in the MPL or Rivals. Like, this was a grueling schedule this year. There were a ton of events. People work their butts off to get those spots. I'm just saying, let's find creative things we can do to get other people that don't look necessarily like the people in these events or in these groups into other events and into some streaming, into some promotional efforts, and get their face on more stuff so we can build that community up. That's all. So yeah, man, I don't know. You got anything else you want to add to that?
I think you have summed it up well, sir. Till we see a reason that we don't need to be here, we're going to be here.
Well,
until everything's fixed.
Sadly, I think we're going to be here for a while, but at least people like listening to us.
Exactly. We love doing this.
Yeah, so in other news to help pay some bills, I want to remind everybody that if you are going and shopping at tcgplayer.com, we do have a link in the show notes that if you follow that, it will give us a kickback. It's an affiliate link that will help us out a little bit. Another thing people can do, if you would like to help us out and aren't planning on spending any money, even at TCG Player, is go wherever you're listening to the show on, whatever app, whatever website, whatever podcast player, rate the episode and review the episode and or the show. Like, that's really important because it helps us show up in the rankings. It helps us show up on searches. And sometimes you see things, I believe, like iTunes does a hot and fresh or whatever it is they call their little segment. But they promote shows that are getting more feedback, you know, growing quickly, that type of stuff. So that's something that goes a long way if you all could do that for us. It's a little thing. It takes like 30 seconds to a minute, but it's a big payoff for us. If you can do that with each episode, that would be awesome. Other than that, Brian, how can they find you?
I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter.
As usual, I am Power Dragon, PowerDragon, and you can find me on most social platforms. And you can follow me through, I guess we're in the mid-20s now, on our 60-day challenge, if you want to come over and watch that. And I should have an episode up that you can see me go through a collection that is sitting here to my right that we're going to tackle right after this episode live on Twitch so people can see if I did good or bad on my purchase. So trying to do some different things over there because, you know, you got to mix it up over 60 days. But I think that's going to wrap us up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening from, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. If you have a chance, please check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook at Color of Magic. We're also over on Twitter and Twitch at Color of MTG. And we have a website you can check out, colorofmtg.com. Please share our episode with your friends and help us grow our base. As always, every little bit helps, and we appreciate your support.